Hello and welcome to another Linguistics Career Cast, the podcast devoted to exploring careers for linguists outside academia. I'm your host, Laurel Sutton. This episode is an audio version of a virtual panel held at the Linguistics Career Launch in the summer of 2024. The video of this presentation is available at the Linguistics Career Launch YouTube channel. Links to the presentation materials and to other resources mentioned are in the show notes. This episode of Linguistics CareerCast is generously sponsored by Amazon Science. This episode is titled Salary and Benefits, Negotiate Like a Pro. The presenter is Alex Johnston, who is Director, Master's Programs and Career Management in the Georgetown University Department of Linguistics. In this presentation, you will learn how to prepare for the negotiation stage and the proper etiquette to request what you need, as well as how to respond to tricky questions from employers regarding salary expectations. You'll also find out how to research the typical salary range for a job, how to investigate the company's compensation history, how to avoid stating your salary expectations too early, and how to appropriately request more in the benefits package. Topics discussed include salaries, salary negotiation, job research, self-advocacy, pay transparency, job interviews, the Handshake app, salary expectation, and benefits.
Welcome, everyone, to Linguistics Career Launch session on salary and negotiating like a pro. First of all, when I say negotiate like a pro, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer. I'm a pro in my area. I don't have all the answers about salary and benefits, so we're going to leverage some of our distributed knowledge within the group that's attending today and with our LCL staff, but we are going to have a really good conversation today about what you can ask for with respect to salary and benefits, how to give you some general tips for negotiating. And I will save some time at the end for a lively discussion about all things money and benefit related. So I'm really looking forward to interacting with you today. Starting off, I am here for the final career management session in this cadence of five that I've been presenting to you. And thank you for following along with me. Hope you're not sick of me by now. I am Alex Johnston. I'm a faculty instructor of career management for linguists for the past 6 years, which is a 3-credit semester long course for linguistics graduate students at Georgetown University. I teach this course every year to both undergraduates and graduate students, and I adore it. It's the class I would have wanted when I was an undergraduate, and I knew nothing about getting a job, much less getting a job in something that I loved and wanted to explore as a career. So I'm drawing a lot of the insights from my past 6 years of engaging in career management training and coaching. I have also been a consultant, a global talent development consultant for over 15 years, continuing to the present during my employment at Georgetown University. I still consult on the side, and I deliver professional development content to corporate, government, nonprofit, and higher education clients, which means that I talk with these clients a lot about their compensation offers to employees at different levels and about salary benefits and, you know, what to do as far as negotiating in those different sectors in a variety of organizations. I've also negotiated my own jobs in a variety of sectors when it comes to nonprofit organizations, when it comes to setting my own consulting rates with a range of clients. So I'm going to get into how you can set your consulting rates if you're interested in adding gigs, either part-time or building a business that will support you, I hope, in consulting. So let's get into it and let's use our linguistic skills towards negotiating. We should be good at this, right? Let's go through some tips and tricks and talk money. So today I'm going to talk about preparing for salary questions at all stages of the application process. So we're going to talk about how to research salaries and benefits. and learn what you can so you can negotiate from a position of strength and knowledge. We're going to talk about job offers, how they're more than just salary. There's a lot more that you can, that you will be offered and that you can negotiate for. And then I'll provide language patterns for you, because that's exactly what we need when we're on the spot talking about salary and benefits. And we don't get enough practice in doing this. Usually we only practice doing this in the moment, but we're going to prep for this so that when we're in the moment, we're asked about salary expectations, or we're given a job offer with a salary and a benefits package, we'll know phrases to say and patterns to use so that it'll feel more natural and more habitual. It takes a long time to get used to this process for many people. So prepping for these questions, start before you apply. Always start before you apply, because you may be asked by a recruiter, what are your salary expectations? And this is before you even know about an organization or know about a particular position. So you have to have that knowledge upfront about what exactly you're looking for and what might be offered to you. Just general ideas. You might have to fill in a text field in an online application about your expected salary or your salary range, and it might be a required field. I hate it when that happens. You're filling out a job application online and there are required text fields where they say, put in this number of what you expect. Sometimes they say, put in the number of your highest salary. We're going to get to that in just a slide or so, and how to get around that if possible. Also, you might have a first round phone screen interview with an HR representative in which you're asked about salary. They might ask you, you know, what are your expectations, or what do you need from this position? What's your target? What's your range? Or hopefully, is what we're offering in your range? It's great when they provide that number, but I would want you to have been forewarned. Forewarned is forearmed. Yep, I think that's it. Know what that range should be and know what you need. So first of all, about this salary history question, I want to address this because this is something that is currently in flux. So in the US, this depends entirely on the state where the job is located, sometimes on where you are located. And that will become clear when you read the job ad or talk to recruiters. So just as some history, recruiters, interviewers, and application forms across the US used to be able to ask questions like these. What was the salary at your last job? What was your highest salary? And some employers would adjust their compensation offers based on your history. And this really puts people who have been in school behind, people who have spent years out of the workforce behind, people who have gaps in their employment history, people who have done, gig work, people who haven't yet gotten the experience in the industry that they're transitioning into. And it also contributes to pay disparities and inequities. So this is not something we love. And in fact, right now, these questions are becoming outlawed in many states. You can find a list of the US states where salary history questions are banned at this link. So I encourage you to use this for when you're engaging in an application process. And know that this is being updated all the time as more states are coming on board with this process. For example, in Illinois, my home state, they are going to outlaw salary history questions starting January 1st, 2025. So just a few more months in Illinois. Currently, Maryland, DC have those laws in place, other states as well, a growing list. There are also pay transparency laws that mandate that companies list salary and benefits on their job announcements. What a concept. We would wish that this were the case all the time, but there is a growing number of states that now require this. So you can look this up as well. Please look at the pay transparency laws by US state, and you'll find out the states where that job salary number or range is actually listed on the job ad for private industry job announcements. Now, Public sector jobs already have pay transparency. Woo, don't sleep on those public sector jobs. Linguists are hired at the federal, state, and local levels of government. This includes public universities. And you will find those salaries listed because these are publicly funded. If you are going into the federal government, into the US government, those salaries are defined according to GS level, which stands for general schedule. There are 15 grades from GS 1 to 15. Every grade has 10 steps, and every grade defines the education and experience required to earn that salary. These are really set. These pay bands are set, and not a lot of room for negotiating in those bands at all. The only way to really negotiate is try to get into a higher step based on some combination of salary and experience and other things, or perhaps you're in a category that is sought. Perhaps you're a veteran, or perhaps you were part of a US Department of State international exchange program. But check out those salaries for the US in the general schedule overview. Super fun reading. You'll find all those salaries there, and you can actually click on the base salaries for every grade with the locality pay, because they're graded, again, according to cost of living in different areas of the United States and different metropolitan areas. So this is my information, you know, for those of you who are ever going to apply for a federal position or for a public position. Now, quickly getting into some resources to learn more about organizations you're interested in and to prep for job interviews. Do some searching. Look at the corporate websites, look at every company's website, look at the company in Google search, click news, read up on current news. If you have Handshake as a benefit of your university, use Firsthand within Handshake to learn about organizations and learn about compensation. That's a great benefit for those of you connected to a university or who have alumni access to these career center benefits. Handshake also offers company information. I'm linking here to two Georgetown Career Center interview prep guides, which I give to my students. These are really helpful. So there's one from the Undergrad Career Center, which is an interview prep guide, and one for the Graduate Career Center, which actually provides you a template in the Notion platform for you to go step by step through your job application process. And it allows you to keep all that information about organizations and informational interviews, contacts, materials, interview prep, all in one Notion template. So I think that's a very good resource for all of you here. And you can also check to see if your university offers what's called Big Interview. I've linked to it here. This is typically a paid site, but many universities, again, pay for this for their affiliates. And it's a way that you can get AI feedback on answering interview questions. It will record you answering interview questions, giving you about 60 to 90 seconds to answer these sort of these behavioral interview questions, and it'll give you feedback on your responses. Okay, so we're getting into it. We need to prep for what are your salary expectations? I want you to know your own bottom line. I want you to know your worth. So knowing your bottom line means you know your expenses, you know your responsibilities, you know what you have to pay for food, for rent, for utilities, for your family, for anybody you need to support, and what lifestyle you currently have or want to have. That's your bottom line. Figure out what you need and what you want. And then you also want to know your worth. So it can be really tricky if you haven't done a lot of research about compensation levels for various industries and various organizations. And I want to encourage you to kind of aim high. And as we continue to talk through, I want you to be empowered to ask for what you need and what you want. This starts with research. So you have to look at the range of salaries and benefits. Some organizations have this information listed, but you can also look at salary aggregator sites like Glassdoor, like Levels FYI. These are linked here for you. Glassdoor, which a lot of people use, I want you to be aware that this is a site that is, it requires you to self-report aspects of your own position and your own salary in order to gain access to the aggregate salaries that are presented there. So given that it's self-report, you have to take that with a grain of salt. Maybe people are being truthful about their salaries that are linked to certain positions in certain organizations because it's anonymized. But, you know, you have to just remember that there's room for user error and user inflation or deflation. We don't know. Some people might just want to enter in information to get access to the rest of the site. But check out Levels FYI, because that is is based on different reporting data. The best source for me is going to be your network and your contacts. So I want you to talk to people who work at the company or organization you're interested in, or who are in the same sector. And right now you have access to this amazing network of linguists that have participated in LCL. We're going to have a mixer tonight. Let's talk money. Talk to people, you know, in an unrecorded situation, one-on-one, and learn from them what is offered at their organization or what's typical. You don't have to say, what do you make? This isn't typically met with transparency or with enthusiasm by a lot of Americans who don't want to discuss salary. Some people will, but a way to ask that that's not so face-threatening is to say, what's the salary range at your organization for entry level, for mid level, for a position like yours or positions that are close to yours? Some people will talk ranges before they'll name their own number. I want you to incorporate salary questions into informational interviews that you have. So in the informational interviewing etiquette guide that is listed in our launch manual and that I put into our informational interviewing video, there are questions there about how to get at those numbers, how to get at ranges with people that you talk to from various organizations. So remember to ask about compensation and types of benefits when you talk to people in informational interviews. If you're interested in applying for jobs in nonprofit organizations, I want you to pull the 990 for that nonprofit organization. That's their tax form that they report and send to the IRS. I find it very useful to find out salary ranges for the leadership of those organizations. And that can give you a sense of if the leaders are paying this much. Yeah, yes, I can't expect more than them if I'm applying for this entry level or mid-level position in their organization. So for example, if you're applying for a nonprofit organization and you value yourself as, you know, needing and wanting to make about $100,000, and you look at the 990 and you find that the executive director makes $90,000, oof, you're off with this organization. You're going to be disappointed with the salary that's going to be offered for anything lower than an executive director position. So although the 990 won't report every salaried position in that organization, it'll report the leadership, it'll report the board of trustees, and it'll give you an idea of what they're working with. And, you know, for those of you who work at, you know, private universities, there's a 990 for your private university where you can see what the president makes and what all the academic leadership makes. Of course, this is available at every single public university. If you want to find that information for the private universities, get the 990, it's useful. And then find that any other publicly available compensation information, again, for public institutions, not a problem. For private, you'll have to dig a little deeper. Let's talk about general principles of salary discussions and negotiations. I want to avoid sharing my expectations too early in the process. I want to avoid giving a number or a range first. basically, I don't want to count myself out of the process before it started. I want to hear from them first. That's a kind of a, it's a technique to get them to say their number first, then you're in a position of responding to it. So there can be the chance if you share your number first, then they will be judging that number. If it's not a well-researched number, you might be counted out of the process. So try to get them to say their number first, if possible. And we have some patterns of how to ask for that. And when you get an oral or written offer, negotiate. Yes. Yes, it's expected. And yes, I want you to. There are organizations that have salary transparency policies within their company that they don't have leeway to move on salary. So if you trust them when they say that, then that's probably their bottom line and they won't move on salary. Most organizations have a range budgeted for specific positions. They have pay bands, they have steps within a pay band, and they have their own kind of calculus of how to fit you into a band. And it's up to you to kind of find out how much flexibility there is based on what you bring to that organization. And you likely bring a lot. So for most organizations, negotiate. And yes, even if it's for a first job post-graduation, whether it's your first job post-bachelor's or master's or PhD, even for a first job, try to negotiate. This is your opportunity to get more. And this is the time when you will be in the strongest position to ask for more. By them making an offer, this is when they're going to love you the most. This is when they want to get you to work with them. So this is where you try to maximize your overall compensation package with them and negotiate. And there are gender disparities in negotiation. So more men tend to negotiate these offers than women. And more experienced people in the workforce with less time in academia tend to negotiate rather than people straight out of academia. So remember that other people are negotiating and that they know it's expected. But I'll give you ways to negotiate in a non-face-threatening way. You also want to maximize the base salary because that is what is, that's what the percentage of your merit increased and cost of living increase will be based on. So you want to maximize that base salary. So if it's a base salary of, you know, $60,000, you want to see if there's flexibility to raise it just a bit more, especially if you're in an organization where promotions and salary raises are going to be conservative. And they'll be conservative in nonprofits. They'll be highly conservative in academic contexts. So you want that base salary up there as much as possible. But that is only one component of your overall package. So your package is not just a number. You're going to have an offer that includes benefits and a number of other components, of which salary is one part. The other components of your compensation package may be as good as money on the table because you avoid an expensive commute, or you are given an incentive to carpool, or you're given professional development money, or they're paying you for an advanced degree at some point. So that those savings and those incentives can be as good as money in the bank. So that's why sometimes with a lower salary, you can, with your overall package, get other aspects that are as good as money. So remember, there's way more than money to negotiate. And your tone, it's always going to be positive optimism. That all is going to align. We're on the same side here. You know, I'm bringing something to you. You're giving something to me. It's going to work out. You know, this is not going to be an antagonistic kind of back and forth. It's not going to be fighting. It's not going to be tooth and claw. No bridges are going to be burned here because you never know where the people you're speaking with are going to end up. People move all the time. and organizations change. And somebody you come across in one context where they're on the other side of the table offering a job, at another point, they might be reporting to you. You never know how you will cross paths again. So this is always going to be positive, always just looking ahead. Even if you end up declining the offer, it's just going to be, well, it's not aligning this time, but I look forward to other opportunities with you. Thank you so much. So we want to prepare for salary expectations, because even in an exploratory interview or an informational interview, something could pop up. You never know. But even if you haven't submitted an application yet, this exploratory interview is going great. And they suddenly say, would you be interested in discussing possible job openings here? What salary are you looking for? And you're like, whoa, this was supposed to be an informational interview, just a chat. I didn't know I was going to be asked this today. So if you're caught off guard, you might say, I'm very interested in exploring opportunities in your organization, and I appreciate your candor regarding salary, but let's postpone discussions of pay for now, because I'm sure with your organization, with its reputation, we'll pay appropriately when and if any job is offered. Use this as a base template. Practice it, get it to roll off your tongue in a way that sounds natural to you. And you can also be candid too and say, oh, wow, that's so flattering. You've really caught me off guard. I would be so interested in exploring opportunities, but salary is just one part of an overall package. And I'd love to learn more about opportunities and what I could do here and what I could bring to this organization before we get to that level. So try saying this out loud. You will need to practice this so that it comes out when you need it, in that moment of surprise. Say you're having an initial phone screen. The human resources rep who is screening you for basic qualifications for this position and who may not know a whole lot about the content of your job yet, because you haven't made it to the next round interview, might say to you, what are your salary expectations? Try saying, I'm sure we'll be able to come to an agreement about pay after you first decide I'm the right person for the job. So let me ask you to make that decision first. What else should we discuss at this time? Or what else can we discuss that would help us move forward? I'm eager to have that discussion, but when it's the right time, let's see if we align in expectations and qualifications to see if we can move forward here. Or my favorite, I'm sure the budget allocated for the position will be fair. What is budgeted for this position? They're not coming to you without a budget. They know what the range is. Why are they asking you? Try to get them to tell you the number. So say, what can you share with me about what's budgeted for the position? At any other contact point before a written offer, they ask, what are your salary expectations? You can have these other options in response. I'm sure we can find alignment with what you've budgeted for the position. What's the range that's been budgeted for this role? What can you share with me? I'd like to learn more about the position and tell you more about what I can bring to this position before we discuss numbers or ranges or an overall package. What do you currently pay for someone with my skills and experience? It's one way to get at their number, but it may not be your eventual number, because we hope you're better than the person that's already in that role. And from the research I've done about this type of position in this geographical area, I see that the range is typically about 45 to 55,000. Does that align with what you offer? So let them know you've looked at research. Let them know you've done inquiries, and let them know in general what you've found. And, you know, share that, you know, in a geographical area like DC, it should be more for the same type of position that's offered to you in Champaign-Urbana, my hometown, because the cost of living is half. Somebody is pestering you. They just really want you to spit out that number. And you're like, no. They tell you, I appreciate your flexibility, but I'd really like to know your expectations to ensure that we don't waste too much of your time before getting to that point. Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. My current salary is X, but that includes a wide range of benefits that are really attractive to me, and I always consider salary as just one part of that overall package. Or thanks, I don't want to waste your time either. I'd hope for X amount based on the research I've done, but there are other parts of an offer package that would be very important for me. For example, I'd hope for flexibility in office time, perhaps working 2 to 3 days remotely. Is that possible with this position? So this can lead into a request for more information about other aspects of the compensation package, which again, if this is prior to an oral or written offer, it may be just general. It may not be with the decision maker, but there will be some aspects of benefits that somebody in HR might be able to share with you here and just alert you that yes, you can look forward to remote work. Yes, you can look forward to a transportation subsidy, or yes, we don't need you in the office at all. Negotiating your base. To ask for a higher salary, try saying, thank you so much for your offer. What flexibility do you have in the base salary? What flexibility do you have in the range? Now, you have to justify asking for a higher salary, right? So you have to reiterate aspects of your value that you bring to the organization, aspects of your skills and qualifications, to justify asking for a salary that's higher than what they initially offer. So remember to tell them exactly what you bring. You'll plan for this by putting some bullet points of the main things that you're bringing. Maybe you're bringing an advanced degree. Maybe you're bringing research management experience. Make a list of that. So something like, given that I have a master's degree and I've already engaged in end-to-end research design and managed a team, I'd hope we have some flexibility on the higher end of that range. Okay, more options. Again, gratitude, boilerplate. Based on what I've learned so far, I'm confident that I can hit the ground running and deliver real value right away in X area of responsibility. From my understanding of typical ranges for this position in the Washington, DC area, and what you're expecting from me in this position, and what I bring to the table, because I'm the full package, I believe that a base salary of X would be fair. How can we come to an agreement here? How can we align on this? Gratitude. From what I understand about the position and the market salary ranges, this base salary seems fair. What can you tell me about the opportunity for bonuses or other additional compensation? Or I feel I don't know enough about the overall package to respond to your base salary offer. Could we discuss aspects of the package, or could I meet with someone else who might tell me all that comes with the offer? Now, let's get to all that can come with your offer, because I want to let you know what is potentially on the table, and I don't want you to leave money or benefits on the table, things that are important to you. Disclaimer, not all of these are relevant to all sectors or organizations, so you really have to make use of your contacts, your research, your informational interviews, and drill down on what's available. So, you know, stock options, that's not going to be part of a nonprofit offer, right? So base salary plus starting date. This is important to a lot of students who are planning ahead for graduation or planning ahead for a summer off or for travel or other types of time off. So see if you can push out a start date or align with your current responsibilities. I think Alfonso can tell a great story about how he negotiated his start date. You have various types of insurance. You might even have the option for a retirement pension, laughter and tears, who gets that these days? But maybe it's part of your package if you're lucky. Retirement accounts, how much is that employer contribution? And when do employer contributions fully vest? Can they vest earlier? I've known people who've successfully asked for full employer retirement contributions to vest immediately, or to vest after 1 year rather than 3 years. So many employers have a graduated schedule of vesting. So maybe they contribute, you know, 2% of your salary to the retirement account, and they ramp up to 5 and then to 10, maybe to 12. So look at those percentages and if there's flexibility in when they vest, because you might be out of there in a year or two. Vacation, sick leave, paid time off. I've had people who are international, people working in the US, negotiate for home leave as separate from vacation and paid time off. So I require 2 weeks to go visit my mother, my aging mother in Lebanon, and, you know, to make sure that I have time to, you know, travel there and be with her. This is just not vacation time I'm asking for. This is additional home leave. Yes, this has worked in my own family for in a negotiation process. Reporting relationships, who you report to, this might be flexible. Maybe there's a particular person in a particular position who might be, you think, a better reporting relationship based on your research. Feedback and review. Can I have a 6-month review for a raise or promotion? Or when I finish my master's or my doctoral degree? You know, can I have your word that after I get that degree, we can discuss additional compensation? Maybe you get relocation expenses. Maybe they pay for, you know, association memberships or conferences or upskilling or retraining. Maybe you get tech. Maybe they pay for your cell phone bill. Anything to do with transportation is something to ask about. I was laughed at when I asked for parking expenses at Georgetown, but no, the chair was very calm and did not laugh at me. But now if I would be laughing at anybody who asked for that at Georgetown, but at many companies, you could get parking garage privileges that are, you know, $200 a month. And that is money in your pocket if they pay for your parking. Flex time, tuition. When would you be eligible for those tuition benefits? So ask when those benefits vest. Ask about remote work and where you would geographically have to be. Is it remote anywhere in the world, or are you confined to a particular geographical area to be remote? Is that important to you that you have the flexibility of anywhere in the world? Terms of contract, if you get one, length of time, severance provisions, do you have to sign an NDA? Do you get a budget? Do you have access to resources? Do you get lab space? And then if you're in, you know, a big company in private industry, there may be things like stock options or a signing bonus. So I'll stop here and see what questions you might have about what I've said so far. Oh, great question about, is negotiating typically taking place via email or some other modality? Brilliant question. So sometimes you'll get an oral offer ahead of time, and that's done by video chat with the hiring manager or the person who is prepared to explain to you about that offer. Sometimes it's on an actual phone, so get used to that. And sometimes it's coming as an informal email offer to kind of begin this feeling out process of if the initial offer is going to be something that you can both work with, right? So sometimes it might be face-to-face and in that, well, or on video. So for those occasions, you would want to be prepared with your initial responses so that you're not like $60,000, you know, like you want to be able to control your reaction and to present some of these phrases we've been talking about. If it's an email, and some people want to keep these initial offers off of email, so be prepared for that. Many times this is done over the phone, just so there's no written record of an informal offer, because, you know, something that is written is discoverable later. Again, I'm always thinking about legal processes. Something that's written could be forwarded anywhere in the world. So consider that completely public. And a lot of employers will not make that initial offer through email. But if they do, that's fine. That's great because it gives you a chance to think about your response and to go through an email response. And one thing I forgot to mention is that when you get that initial email or that initial oral offer, you are completely in the right to say, you know, thank you so much for your offer. I'd love a couple of days to think about it. You don't have to decide anything on the spot, and you don't have to be pressured to decide anything on the spot or very quickly. So ask for a day or so to formulate a response and to think through what's most important to you to ask for. If they can't move on base salary, can they move on your start date or your reporting structure or how much time off you can get? That'll give you that time to respond via email following an initial, you know, face-to-face or email offer. And thank you, Emily. It also depends on if you're working through a recruiter. So what I just described is experiences based on when there is somebody who is directly representing the organization and has the authority to give you that offer. So it's even, I think a lot of times it's easy with a recruiter in the sense that they act as a liaison and a go-between. Emily's right. As you get to be more senior, you can leverage your experience to be aggressive in all phases. Oh, nice promise. Gym membership. Yeah, health incentives. Those can be great things to ask about. And I hope I responded to made what vesting means clear. Thanks for the explanation in the chat. Some people are interested in consultancy. So with a couple minutes remaining, I will quickly share some very personal experiences with consulting. And let's do that. Okay, so they ask, what's your rate? You have to know in advance what your hourly rate is typically, and if you accept any set fees for service, okay? So sometimes you might want to have a set fee for a project or a project rate. Sometimes you want to work hourly. It really will depend on the scope of work and the type of organization. So just keep that in mind. You have these different payment structures that you could present and that you probably should have a different fee schedule for different sectors. So I'm going to charge a nonprofit organization far less than I will charge a company. Far, far less. So I have different rates depending on the budget of the entity that is hiring me. And often too, remember that the entity that is hiring you has their own rate. So it's another one of those, figure out if your rates will align. A government rate, typically these days I've encountered like at the State Department is $45 per hour or a set rate of say $400 to $500 for a contact hour of a certain type of training. So it will depend on the agency. It will depend on the specific grant or initiative, the funding source, but you'll find that those fees will be set by the government and there may be less leeway to negotiate with a private sector organization. With a private sector organization, all bets are off. No, you can have a leeway depending on the size of the organization, the size of the budget, and what unit you're working with. So for example, with some larger organizations where people I know may or may not be me have been on retainer, that retainer could be $10,000 a month for say 10 hours of service at any point within the month to provide spot training, you know, access to you at any point for hourly consulting. I've been in places where I have, so a lot of you are ESL teachers or language tutors. When I do that, you know, one-on-one, I have a certain rate. When I do that for nonprofits, I have a certain rate. But for organizations that are large Fortune 100 companies, I've been paid $500 per hour to do pronunciation and to do presentation skills polishing that work on language presentation and work on the physical skills of presenting. And for different types of keynotes, it could be $1,000 to $3,000 per hour. Are there reactions in the chat? Anything about those types of rates? it could, they really vary. But the thing is, if they seem high-ish or they seem attractive, remember that you have to compensate yourself. If this is your own business and you're trying to make a living at it, you have to compensate for the 90% of the type, 90% of your work, which is simply business development or client development, meaning you are establishing a relationship and you are hoping to make that long-term probably. There is development time for materials and products. There is then the contact hour time where you deliver the services. There is your intellectual property rate. So for some organizations, there are hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars that I have charged for intellectual property. You're also, if this is your only business, you have to pay for your own health insurance. You have to pay for business insurance, for legal and tax consulting advice, for vendors who will help you run your business legally and properly. And you also have to save for retirement. So you really have to compensate yourself and value yourself at market rates based on your skills and experience and based on what the market will bear. You have to find that meeting place. So that's what I will say briefly about consulting. And I hope to continue talking about independent consulting at 2 p.m. Eastern in Gather on Friday. What other questions are there?
Alex, I just want to raise up something that has been asked by a few different people, just to, as a last thing to close this up, because we've seen this in the chat, about when you do have that box where, on an application where they want you to put in like your highest salary or your target salary. We've had some discussion about the strategy of putting in like $0 or $1. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that one.
You know, I've known recruiters and organizations that will toss that. There are a lot of people who react strongly to that. I just, come on. But it really depends on the organization and the recruiter. And, you know, sometimes it is right. So, and they'll know what you're doing. They're like, all right. So I wouldn't want to really start off on that footing. Really know the market rate, know what you're worth, and put something down that you would be comfortable getting in that position. And know that if you move further in the process, you'll be able to talk more about that. It's not locking you in to anything. It's an opening for discussion. So you'll be able to talk with the recruiter about it. And you can even backtrack and say, you know, you'll notice that I put, you know, $100,000 in the text field. That was just a starting point for discussion. And, you know, I know that we're not locked into this. I need to learn more about the position and see how it's a match between what you need from me, what value I can bring to you. So let's just, you know, move beyond that and like see what fit we have here. So there are a lot of ways that you can backtrack from it, but I have heard enough from recruiters that, you know, they're kind of fed up with the $1 deal. So and it doesn't replace doing research. Like, I really want you to know we're good researchers. This is something we should be able to do. And you should be able to find out actionable information from your network, because we're building it here. You're going to ask for informational interviews, and you're also going to like look at a book like Perfect Phrases for Negotiating Salary and Job Offers, and you're going to read that. So apply your linguistic skills to your own job search and to valuing yourself. And also first job, post-grad, you know your worth, and don't just say like, thank you, because you're getting more than $14, $15, $20 per hour for the first time in your life. The problem with academia is that the longer you're in it, the more accustomed you become to these minimum wage or below minimum wage positions. And you begin to think that your skills are not worth what they're actually worth in other sectors, because we become so used to being valued that way. So talk openly about salary find out what faculty salaries are too, and realize how low they are compared to salaries in other areas.
Linguistics Career Launch is an ongoing nonprofit project currently led by volunteers that works to educate students, faculty, administrators, and industry employers about the value of linguists in business, government, nonprofit, and tech. The LCL has held two online boot camps during which attendees were able to learn from and interact with career linguists, as well as gain practical experience in career management skills. Videos of all our recorded sessions are available on our YouTube channel. You can get in touch at linguisticscareerlaunch@gmail.com.